South African rugby is once again up for sale and seemingly available to the highest bidder. In this episode, you are going to get a front row seat as I explain what exactly is going on, who the investors are, what it means for the Springboks, and at the end of the episode, I'll give you my opinion on what I think is best for South African rugby going forward. So let's see exactly what it is that's happening. On Friday, SARU is going to hold a meeting where it will vote on whether or not to grant an American investing group a 20% shareholder stake in a brand new company. The Americans are essentially being brought in to help grow the commercial side of the sport in South Africa and to exploit the Springbok brand for greater profits. The idea is that this will increase SARU's profits, which can then be used to secure the future of the sport in our country. That money, for example, will be used to invest in grassroots rugby development. It'll be distributed towards the provincial unions, the franchises, and so on and so forth. Now, in principle, I actually like this idea. I am in favor of it. However, there are one or two snags. So approximately 2 months ago, I also put out an episode where I first revealed to you who the American investors are. It's the Ackerley Sports Group. For the rest of this episode, I shall refer to them as ASG. And the idea being that bringing in an equity partner who is experienced in sport, but as well as the commercial side of things, that can be beneficial not only to South African rugby, but any rugby union. And yes, I know that you are going to tell me about New Zealand and the Sharks, and I will address that a little bit later in this episode. But before I get to that, approximately 2 months ago, when this news first broke and we knew that SARU were going to hold a meeting and its members were going to vote on it. By the way, when we say members, those are the individual provincial unions. So the 14 of them, right? So that's Western Province, Boerland, Southwestern Districts, and so on and so forth. And on the eve of that meeting, it emerged that even though the Americans were taking a 20% stake in this brand new company, by the way, they're not investing in SARU, it will be a brand new company. You might remember approximately 15 years ago, SARU and SA Rugby were two separate entities. SA Rugby was in charge of the commercial side of things. Interestingly enough, Riaan Oberholzer was also involved at that stage in South African rugby. He is again the CEO of SARU currently, so some interesting parallels there. But nevertheless, coming back to what happened 2 months ago, on the eve of that vote, there were all kinds of questions that emerged about what exactly were the Americans going to get in exchange for their 20% stake. And it looked as if it seemed to be a deal that was more favorable for them than it was for us. And when I say us, the individual members of SARU, but also South African rugby as a whole. One of the sticking points was actually match day fees. But before I address that, you may know this, South Africa's Minister of Sport, Gayton McKenzie, suddenly got involved as well, and SARU postponed the vote to this coming Friday. Now, just so you know, it needs a 75% positive vote in order to be approved. So it's not like you need 50% plus one. It needs to be 75%. Don't forget that. And the Bulls have now got involved as well. Their CEO, Edgar Rathbone, has sat down, a little bit of wheeling and dealing going on with the members of SARU who appear to be uneasy with this vote, or unsure, let's go with unsure instead of uneasy. And he has played a role behind the scenes to try and get those members on board. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, test match hosting fees seems to be the biggest sticking point at the moment. Now listen, unions or members like Griquas and the Griffins and the Eagles, Southwestern Districts, they don't host test matches, so they don't care about this sort of thing. So in theory, they might look at this deal and say, oh, there's a little bit of extra cash coming our way, we're going to sign up for this. But then you think of Western Province, the Blue Bulls, the Golden Lions, even the Free State Cheetahs, obviously the Sharks. Those are the ones that host test matches. And I suppose you would have to include Eastern Province and Mpumalanga or the Pumas in that as well, because those are also venues that host test matches. So they are going to be the ones that are saying, hey, hang on a second, we are not entirely comfortable with this. And that would make up seven of the members. So that's seven, that's half, right? So if half of the guys are not on board, you've got a problem. And this is where Rathbone has come in. He has actually suggested a framework where ASG will reimburse those members for the use of their facilities from 2025 onwards. All of a sudden, maybe they think, okay, this doesn't look like such a bad idea anymore. And the word is that it has swayed some of those members in favor of the ASG deal. And we do know one thing for a fact is that ASG are Saru's preferred equity partner. They've said so, they've said as much in various news releases. So this is something that we do know. But just wait a minute, because ASG might have a little bit of competition for the position of Saru equity partner. And this is something that I like and I really find very, very interesting. You may have heard of Johann Rupert, one of the richest men in South Africa. Of course you have. You may also have heard of Marco Masotti, especially if you're a Sharks fan, you'll know all about Masotti, I suspect. Well, the two of them are now working behind the scenes to put together a rival bid. And this is something that I think could be very, very interesting. Now, we have no details on it, unfortunately, at this stage, but allegedly, what happened on Monday is that Rupert Masotti and their consortium made a presentation to Saru. The word is that it matches the ASG proposals, but eliminates those match day fees and commissions. And here's something that I think you're going to like. It also calls for financial institutions to reassess Saru's needs. Now, I'm no financial expert, guys, but that kind of tells me that they're trying to put some checks and balances in place to avoid some kind of money grab. And when I say money grab, there's something that I really feel needs to be said here. I do believe that Riaan Oberholzer and Mark Alexander and the rest of the gang at Saru sincerely want to do what is best for South African rugby. I really do believe that. Their competence is something else that can be called into question. But one thing that I firmly believe is that sports administrators are also politicians, and politicians are not to be trusted. And the reality is that should this deal go through, men like Oberholzer and Alexander are almost certainly going to receive some kind of commission, okay? There's going to be something in it for them in the short term, no doubt about that. But we need to be talking about the medium to long term here. And when you think long term, men like Oberholzer, who don't forget, was in charge of Saru in 1999 already. That's 25 years ago. Yes, he went away, but he's back. Where's the young blood, you might ask? Now, I'm not criticizing Oberholzer because, again, a lot of the details around this deal are not known to us, so we can only go on what we do actually know. But as I say, these men, at the end of the day, are politicians. They're not to be trusted. They are going to do, I believe, and I hope sincerely, what is in the best interest of South African rugby, in their opinion, but they are also going to try and do what is best in their own interests in the short term. So you might look and say, okay, this is going to help South African rugby, and I'm going to receive X, whatever it may be, in my pocket as a thank you. And that is one of the reasons why the ASG deal already has a question mark. But at the same time, let's be honest, a Rupert Masotti deal would also have a question mark against it. But I do like that idea of financial institutions assessing Saru's needs. It does tell me that it's one check and balance that could avoid some kind of a money grab. Now, at the same time, I know the last video that I put out about this topic, it divided opinion. A lot of you were saying, oh, we don't need this, this will destroy our rugby, etc., etc. And I did promise you earlier in the episode that I would address this matter. Firstly, this deal is different to the one that New Zealand rugby has and the one that the Sharks have, okay? Firstly, we can't compare what's going on with the Sharks because the Sharks are a domestic team or a franchise, a club, whatever term you're comfortable using in this instance, whereas we're talking about a national federation here, the South African Rugby Union. So let's compare it to what's going on with New Zealand. In my opinion, and I speak strictly as a little bit of an armchair investor, okay? I am not Warren Buffett. Okay, I just have a little bit of an idea of what works as a private investor trying to get ahead. Okay, that's the S&P 500 if you're interested. Okay, but I don't play stocks. I'm not a day trader. It's not stuff that I understand sufficiently to be able to play in that space. But there is one thing that I can say with confidence. Why would you invest in the New Zealand Rugby Union? Now you might say to me, Pete, well, the All Blacks, right? That's the answer. It's the All Blacks. The best rugby team in history. The aura that the team has, the intimidation. Everyone loves the haka. It's a match day extravaganza. Well, just hold on a second there. Who is watching this match day extravaganza? New Zealand has a tiny population. If you compare to South Africa, the last time I checked, South Africa's population roughly 60 million. New Zealand's population was roughly 5 million. So, in theory, and I know that we're a much poorer country than them, but in theory, if you're trying to sell something to a sponsor, if you're trying to sell TV revenue, if you're trying to sell TV advertising, South Africa, again in theory, not necessarily in practice, offers you 12 times as many eyeballs as New Zealand. New Zealand is not an attractive investment option. And as we have already seen, it's not looking very good. Now, having said that, World Rugby might be up for some kind of reckoning in the very near future. We know the sport is struggling. Domestically, look at England, right? Wasps, one of the most famous clubs in England. It doesn't exist anymore. There are other examples as well of teams going bankrupt, not only in England, in other areas as well. What about England itself, the RFU? Well, they recorded a massive loss in the last financial year, £38 million. That's not good. Looks even worse when they've paid their CEO a very handsome bonus to say thank you. Thank you for what exactly? The Welsh Rugby Union, well, they're not doing much better. Their loss for the year was somewhere around £15 million. So rugby is in trouble. Financially, the sport is not in a very good space. And I think that what you're going to see is more of these private equity investors trying to, I don't know, negatively worm their way in, positively come on board and help grow the sport. We don't know what's going to happen. We can only hope for the best, of course. Alternatively, and like I said, rugby could be in for a reckoning of sorts. In cricket, in the 1970s, Kerry Packer revolutionized cricket with his Benson and Hedges World Series. And perhaps maybe something that is even more appropriate, approximately 15, 16 years ago. Also in cricket, we had the launch of the IPL, the Indian Premier League. Has it revolutionized cricket? I'm not sure if it has, but one thing it has done is it has turned cricket players into millionaires to the tune that anything that happened or came before the IPL was not able to do. And I wonder if some kind of breakaway competition or breakaway league might not be coming in rugby. We've already heard rumblings out of the United States about a potential breakaway competition. We haven't heard anything since. I did do an episode on that, you may remember. If you didn't see it, just go and look in my channel and under the videos area, and you'll find it there to go and watch and see what it's all about. Something is going to happen. I have no idea what it is. I can't quite predict it. My thinking is that the current trajectory that rugby is on suggests that the sport is going to break. And that makes things ripe for some kind of revolution. I'd be very interested to hear what you think. The vote, the SARU vote, takes place on Friday. Looks like it's going to be in or out for ASG, but maybe Rupert and Masotti have come on board at the 11th hour with something that could provide a very, very interesting alternative. And I look forward to your company next time.